Lord, let's unite our hearts in prayer. Lord, we have assembled together and find ourselves here around thy holy word, and we pause to give thee thanks for this opportunity, a blessed opportunity, Lord, where we can read from thy holy word and to learn of thee. We pray, O Lord, that thou would bless our gathering, that in this calmness of this afternoon hour, O Lord, we would focus our hearts upon thy word, upon what thy will is. O Lord, that we would learn of thee and direct our lives after thy holy will. So bless us as we have assembled together with the promise of thy presence with us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. There was for this afternoon's meditation. Let's turn together and read from the second epistle of Peter, chapter 3. Second epistle of Peter, chapter 3. Ljubazni želim da se pročita iz druge poslanice Petrove, treća glava. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth, standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Thou alone art Lord, our God in heaven, and our Father. Thou alone art worthy of praise and glory, of our thanksgiving from our lips and our minds and our hearts at all times. Thou alone has given us life. Thou alone art God and Savior. And we come before thee In prayer in this afternoon hour, thankful for thy precious word, we have tasted of thy goodness in this morning. We have fellowshipped with our families and shared a meal. And, O Lord, thy goodness, we cannot contain it. And yet, we have come again together into this place of worship, for we have a hunger and a thirst for thee, for thy true righteousness. As we have learned of thy light and thy truth, it has brought us here again with a longing in our heart to yet even draw closer. And as we sit for learning at thy feet, we pray that our minds would be able to be stirred, to be so that the things that might have been settled, that may be fall upon the ears as so common, would be stirred up, would come to the forefront of our hearts and minds, and that thy truth and that the reality that thou art God, there is no other, and thou art holding and keeping all the things that are true and beautiful and just and good, thou art the keeper of them all, and we come to thee to ask of thee, because we cannot find these things anywhere else. Thou alone, O Lord, has the words of eternal life. Thy word alone is the word of salvation, the word that gives life, the word that gives hope. Lord, help us to understand this precious word and what is written, that we might be prepared and that we would not be found outside of the door, knocking and asking to be opened after the door has been shut, but that we would see that the door is open now, that there is a day of salvation today. We pray for those that we dearly love and long to see in thy kingdom, who are not yet in thy fold. Help them to know that if they will hear thy voice, that they would let their hearts be soft and not hardened. We ask for thy blessing upon thy word and upon thy servant, that all would be done in accordance to thy truth and by the gift and anointing of thy Holy Spirit, for thy honor and for thy glory, that our faith would be built up and that we would be strengthened in the ways of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that those who grope in darkness now would be able to see the light of Jesus Christ. These things we do ask in the name of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Dear ones, as we have assembled together, our coming together is really just a choice that we have made. We all are here because we want to be here. And we are here because the Word of God is drawing us together. Fellowship with one another draws us together. As we were reminded in this morning, we are children of God, so brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And so we enjoy the fellowship that we share one with another. We have a bond. We have one thing in common that brings us all together, and that is Jesus Christ, our love for him. And so as we have come together in this afternoon hour, following a lunch, a break between the morning and this afternoon services, we have the word before us speaking of the mercy of God, of the judgments of God, and the exhortation that we have for us to be ready for the coming of the Lord. In the previous chapter, the Apostle Peter is talking much about false teachers and their punishment. He speaks of their foolishness. He speaks of their horrible character as natural brute beasts and so on. He's speaking about false teachers, and he touches upon false teachers again in this chapter, but in this chapter, as he closes his epistle, his epistles, he is speaking of, as he said, he wants to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. I write unto you to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So he's going to bring back to our memory those things which we know. We've heard of them. We know of them. But he says it's good to think upon these things. It's good to be reminded of those things. And he's going to bring our pure minds. We know that what he's speaking of here is a mind that is in Christ. So those dear ones who are in Christ, we are told that we have the mind of Christ, which is a pure mind. So our minds ought to be pure. Just that in and of itself is a remembrance of what we ought to be and to have, and that is a pure mind. So he said he wants to bring our thoughts, and he said that you're mindful of the words which are spoken by the holy prophets, the Old Testament prophets, and the commandment of us in the New Testament, the commandments of the Lord and Savior. And these are the words that had come from old and are continuing even now, that in the last time, again, he's going to touch upon that which Jesus has warned about, which the apostles warned about more than anything, and that is scoffers walking after their own lusts, false teachers, saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." And Peter now reminds us and reminds that they are willingly ignorant. So they know what had taken place, that there was a judgment by water in the time past, and that the world had been destroyed by the flood because of the lawlessness, because of the unrighteousness of mankind, the sin that had become an accepted, the morality of the world in that time was such as it is today. You're not going to find morality in the world. If you're going to use the barometer of the world as morality, you're going to be doing everything. There's no problem with anything. There's no problem with sin in the world. And that's what had taken place in the days of Noah. And God had brought judgment by water upon the earth at that time. And man, because they had refused to listen to his commandment, and they discarded it. And so the same thing has taken place now. But he says, the day of the Lord is coming. And the brother even mentioned in the prayer the day of salvation that Paul himself speaks of, that Jesus Christ himself speaks of. The day of salvation, that is today. My dear friend, again, you were reminded in this morning, you're being reminded again that the day of the Lord is coming. Are you ready to meet him as you are? You know you're not. And so you know you're not ready to meet him. And so what are you going to do? Well, we are being exhorted what to do. It's an exhortation of love. It's an exhortation that should bring our thoughts and our minds into where they belong. And as he says, the heavens and earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men, or destruction. Perdition and destruction is the same thing. So the fire is being, the word, as it says, the heavens and earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition or destruction of who? Ungodly men. And what constitutes an ungodly man? You know, man has a problem, and that problem is self. Because self wants to do what flesh desires. And what pleases the flesh is sin. And so that's why Jesus tells us that we must be born again. So an ungodly man is a man who lives in sin, one who has not been redeemed, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if we look back in the day of Noah, as this word touches upon here, that people, as was mentioned a couple Sundays ago, they made peace with sin. They had no problem with sin. To make peace with sin is one of the deadliest things that we could do. You're okay. You know what you did was not right. You know God frowns upon that. You know that. And you're okay with it. That's peace with sin. That, God says, cannot stand in my presence. Will not be in my presence. Cannot. I'm not holy. I'm not God if I allow sin, he says. So that what we make peace with, we are telling God it's okay. Who are we to say anything to God? We know that in the Old Testament we have probably one of the most vivid examples of a man who had made peace with sin, and that is King David. And in the second book of Samuel, in chapter 11, we see the king who had just done awful things. He made peace with lying. He lied. Many priests were killed because of his lie. He was okay with that. He somehow overcame that. And he continued in sin. And we find him that he basically rapes Bathsheba. And he doesn't stop there. He's at peace with that. He's not alarmed. What did I just do? He continues the plot, and he has Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, murdered, basically. And we find him hiding those things, and he's at peace because he's still sitting upon the throne. He's sitting upon the throne at the close of chapter 11. There's no problem. He made peace with sin. Now we're going to say, well, we're not going to have anybody murdered. Sin is sin. Sin is that which separates man from God. We know that. And so in chapter 12, we find that the Lord sends Nathan. This is a prophet who is going to stand before a king and tell the king a story. And the king who has, with one word, will have his head cut off if he doesn't like what he's going to hear. But we find Nathan coming, and he stands before the king, and he tells him this story. And we know the story very well of the man who had much. He was rich, and he stole the lamb of a poor fella That's all he had was this precious lamb, and he took it away from him. And here's David, who has made peace with sin. He knows how to judge another man. How? That's what sin does to us. It totally skews and clouds and mars our way of thinking. Nathan is bringing to him in this story something that should jar him. But instead, what does David do? It says his anger is greatly kindled against this man. And he told Nathan, as the Lord lives, that man that has done this thing shall surely die. And he will restore the land fourfold because he did this. And because he had no pity. And Nathan, the man of God, just turns to David and says, thou art that man. You're that man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered you out of the hand of Saul. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. He made him king over both. Not just of Judah, but Judah and Israel. And if that had been too little, I would more have given unto thee such and such things. If that's not enough, my blessings aren't going to stop. I will continue to give you. But he says, and here's, dear ones, what really is striking. This is what the Lord is saying to one who has made peace with sin. He says, wherefore, why? He says, why? Why hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have hated my commandment. Why did you hate the commandment of the Lord, and you didn't care to do evil knowing you're doing it in my sight? I see, and you don't care. You don't care. You did this in my sight. You killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You took his wife to be your wife. You had him slain with the sword of the children of Ammon. And now, therefore, it says, the sword shall never depart from thine house. And what does he say again? Because thou hast despised me, and you've taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. You despised me. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. And I will take thy wives before thine eyes, will give them to thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of all, in sight of the sun. You did it secretly, he says, paraphrasing here, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it, he says, before all of Israel. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Look what it took. But God, who is a God of mercy and love, as we hear always, he looks upon David, who says, I have sinned against the Lord. He's confessing his sin and repenting. God heard that word. He heard those few words that David, and he knew that his heart. He knew his heart, and he said, he immediately spoke to Nathan. God did. The Lord also hath put away thy sin. He's forgiven you. Thou shalt not die. He said, but because That which you've done has given so much occasion for the enemies of God to blaspheme. Your child that it will be born is going to die. And we know the story how David wept and wept and wept for his child as it was struck ill. And the child died, as was told. But later on, we see David in the Psalms as he writes, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continue to say unto me, where is thy God? And so we see, dear ones, that the house of David was under constant duress the remainder of his life. Because of those are the consequences that were there for the sin that he had done. Because and we have to go back to this, dear ones, because he despised God. That's hard to hear. Because none of us want to sin. None of us want to have a fit of anger or a fit of anything that we know is unchristlike, and say and have God tell us, you hate me. Because you hate me. Because you hate me. And the judgment is pronounced. And so this exhortation that Apostle Peter is speaking of here, he says, you know all these things. And so because you know all these that are going to happen, that the fervent, the fires will come and destroy and everything will be passed away with the fervent heat. He says, you know these things. So now, and you know also what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, in all of your life. That's your conversation. In all your life, in all your living, you know how you ought to be. And what are you doing? Looking for, hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Why? Because it's not going to catch us unawares. When we are living, when our daily life is one of godliness and holiness, then we are waiting for that day. So we looking for, hasting unto the coming of the day of God, when the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And we, according to the promise, we have a hope. David had no hope. He thought he did. He sinned. He didn't repent. He sat on his throne, ready to judge others. Had no problem with it. Dear ones, do we find ourselves, as we heard in the morning about secrecy, being an open book? Are we secretly living lives that we make peace with, and then we are so easily go and are ready to judge someone or bring a condemnation against something or someone, what they did? As a heart pants for water, so my soul, Lord, thirsts for thee. This is a true repentance, one that his only desire was to have more of the Lord. This is what we heard about, be ye filled with the Spirit of God. It's a continual filling. I'm continually thirsty. I thirst continually. Keep filling. It's a continual filling that will never fill up. But one that reveals more truths, the simple truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the life of Jesus Christ, become for us more clear, more vivid, as we thirst more for him. And as we serve him, he gives us more knowledge of him as he closes this chapter in this epistle. He says, grow in grace. As he did in the first chapter, he talks about growing. He says, grow in grace, grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Grow in his grace, grow in his knowledge. And in doing so, dear ones, we will not be found unawares as we read here. It says, seeing then that you look for these things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blemish. Be found. And when are we going to be found? When he comes and visits us. The day of the Lord? The day of death? Today, as we are being visited by his Spirit here, Christ amongst us, he is visiting us. And he is revealing to each of us our heart. And so he says, so be diligent then to be found in peace with him, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. This is, you know, people might think that as in the previous verses we read of the mockers who were saying, you know, where is his coming and so on. The reason the Lord is waiting is because he doesn't want that anyone would perish. It's the day of salvation. And he says, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Now notice what he says in verse 16. He says, as also in all his epistles. So he's speaking of Paul, who also, according to the wisdom given unto him. In other words, it's not him. It's the wisdom that was given to him. It came from God. He wrote unto you. And in all of his epistles, it says, he's speaking in them of these things. About the readiness, being ready, so that that day does not come as a thief. Because he says in verse 10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. In other words, it's unexpected. You're not going to expect it. You might not expect it, but you have to be ready for it. When you're ready, it doesn't catch you unawares. And so he says, in which are some things hard to be understood. Now, are we supposed to look at the scriptures of Paul, writings of Paul, and say, well, those things are not meant for me to be understood? He says, in which are some things hard to be understood, and then he says, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. You and I should not rest or struggle with the writings that the Apostle Paul has written. He says, as they do also other scriptures. In other words, those who are unlearned, those who are not growing in the grace, those who are not growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior will never understand the epistles that were written by Paul. This is going to be hard to understand. It's going to be hard to understand when Paul says, I gave up everything so I might know Christ. Do you have to do that? I don't understand. I can know him without giving up everything. No, you can't. And so you'll never understand it. But when you know Christ and Christ's life and his purity and holiness and the life of love and compassion and meekness and gentleness, then you will understand Paul's writing as it says here. Those that are unlearned and unstable to rest, as they do also other scriptures, what? Unto their own destruction. Those who don't know, who don't grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ are the ones who are struggling with the scripture unto their own destruction. There's no other way. Well, God will understand. God gave us his Son. He gave us his Word. It's complete. And he tells us to grow in that. You're not going to grow. I'm not going to grow if his Word is not precious to me. I'm not going to grow. So we look into the Word, and because of our love for Him, we want to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, dear ones, as we consider our own hearts, our own lives, let's just ask ourselves, where have I made peace with sin? Because you know what we did? We are now wrestling with the words that the Apostle Paul had wrote and other scriptures too. We're fighting against them to our own destruction. Nothing's going to be sweet about it. Nothing's going to be, well, you tried. When we wrestle against the scriptures and make peace with sin and still want to sit upon a throne and judge others, we say, well, I don't want to judge others. It doesn't excuse our sin. You are that man. You are that man. And God says, because you despised my word, because you despised me, it's to our own destruction. So may God give unto each one of us, dear brothers and dear sisters and dear friends, the clarity of mind to know that His coming, the day of the Lord, is coming. Today is the day of salvation. And so what do we do in the day of salvation? We prepare for the day of the Lord. So it doesn't catch us unawares. He doesn't come as a thief. He comes as a thief, but we're ready. It's going to be a surprise, but we're ready. So may God bless His word upon our hearts, dear ones, and that His word would be one that we continually turn to read, to study, to talk about one with another, to uplift one another, to point one another to just Jesus. No other way. There's no other way. The way is Jesus. Point to Him. He will show us, and we will learn of Him, and we'll be ready for His coming. Amen.
This passage that we've read has spoken to us of the coming of the Lord and exhorts us to be prepared. And He puts forth the explanation of what is to come and puts forth a question to us: which way are you going to go? Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? If the Lord has cleansed our heart and has given us that spiritual sight, the steps forward are clear and obvious, and God will, by His grace, make us like that good tree that bears good fruit. If we are yet in our sins, Jesus says that that tree is an evil tree and will bear forth evil fruit based on the things that we know. The example of Apostle Paul was one who was prepared, who was ready, and he told Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. It is a relief and a blessing to be able to look back with the confidence and peace, as Apostle Paul did. But he continues on, and I believe gives some insight and connection to what we read today. He says, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. His appearing. We often think of it when he comes upon the clouds in glory and splendor to take us all home. But he appears to us when we assemble together. We hear his word. We are reminded of his grace and his mercy. We enjoy the fellowship, and we love his appearing. And there are also times that he comes to us and his gentle hand knocks at our heart's door when we are in need of correction. And we willingly and understandingly say, Lord, you're right. And the pride is pricked and the flesh is put down. But it brings that peaceful fruit when we say, yes, Lord, you're right. And we love his appearing, even when it shows that we were wrong. Because he takes us out of that dark place that we've been hiding, and he brings us to the light. Let's pay attention to when he appears, when he's speaking to us. And let's not forget to be thankful for every time he appears to us. Even if it's a word of correction, it's going to bring about honor to his name if we but say, Lord, you're right about this. Help me change. Help me to repent. Don't let me hold on to this, because I can't hold on to this thing, this sin, and walk on the straight and narrow path. If I don't let go of this, I'm going to perish. That's not what the Lord wants for us, but to have life, to hear his word, to love his appearing, and to behold him in his beauty and his glory. May the Lord lead us all to the realization of that hope and promise. Amen. Amen.